Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Your package says delivered. But delivered where exactly? The hallway? The lobby? Your neighbor's apartment? Instead of playing detective with your deliveries, get a mailbox at the UPS store. We'll sign for your packages, text you when they arrive, and keep your deliveries low-key under lock and key. Get 3 months free mailbox services with a new annual agreement at the UPS store. For full details and to get your coupon, visit the upsstore.com/offer.
The Burt Show.
We talk about lives of celebrities and how they oftentimes reflect normal people's lives as well. So I was wondering if you'd give us a call if you thought that this sounded like maybe something you would admit. And we can use the Voices Geyser on this as well. 404-741-Q100. But apparently, according to one of the gossip magazines, that you know, Mariah Carey's getting the rave reviews for her work in Precious.
Right.
Well, her husband, Nick Cannon, should be really proud of her. But they're reporting in the gossip rags that instead he's really jealous of her. A source tells the National Enquirer that Nick told Mariah early on how fickle Hollywood is and that she shouldn't get her hopes up to be a movie star. Well, it turns out she's eclipsed Nick's acting career by leaps and bounds, and now he's jealous of her. So I'm wondering if anybody out there can admit that you're unhappy about your spouse's success.
And this is not the first story in Hollywood. It seems like every time an actress gets to a certain point and they're more popular than the person they're with, they end up divorcing. Like Demi Moore, and Bruce Willis got divorced when her career started excelling above his. Reese Witherspoon's another case.
And Ryan Phillippe.
When
they were together, he was really the way more famous when they first got together.
Right. And the same with, you know, Bruce and Demi. And then also, I can't think of the actress's name. But there's other cases in which, yes, as soon as the actress who was lesser known into their marriage becomes more popular, the guy's ego can't seem to handle it.
Can you think of any situations where it's gone the other way? Where the guy
has become more successful?
And that divorced?
Mm. And no. that would be the reason behind it.
It's all the guys who are the shallow ones, huh?
Maybe. The ego, or maybe it's sort of like the expectation of the male to be the one who's the provider and that kind of thing. And to get outshined by his wife would make him feel inadequate or lesser than.
I don't know, but it just seems like in the same career, it seems like a guy can't handle it if his wife is actually beating him. I mean, that's what, you know, she's doing is she's more successful, so she's winning the race in Hollywood.
And our I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just saying, our phone number is 404-741-Q100. If you have a story, and like Jen said, voice disguiser is working.
Voice disguiser works if you can admit you're unhappy about your spouse's success, because I don't think it necessarily has to be in the exact same line of work. Like, we talk about it in Hollywood, and it's with their acting. But, I mean, I think it could be unhappy if your, you know, if your significant other got a humongous raise.
I don't know. I mean, I think that, yeah, I don't know.
Or just what they're doing for a living.
Guys have to answer that.
What if your significant other is doing what they love, and you're doing, you know, something to pay the bills.
Right.
Like, I could see that.
Hilary Swank is who I was thinking of.
Oh.
Her marriage ended when she got those Oscars.
Yep.
Hey, Lindsay.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Good, how are you?
How are you?
Doing all right.
Good.
So, I'm listening to you guys on the radio, and I am right there with being jealous with my boyfriend. We've been together for 2.5 years, and he works for FedEx. And he's an amazing courier, and he is 23 years old, and he is already getting in the process to become a manager for his station, which is really, really awesome for him. And it's very uncommon for somebody of his age to move up as quickly as he does.
Okay.
And I love my job. I love children. I'm a nanny, and I've been a nanny for almost 7 years. But it's tough to see somebody who has, you know, my boyfriend has this great career, and he's constantly moving up, and I kind of feel like I get stuck, you know, just like I feel like I could do more, but it's hard when you're a nanny because you can't really move up in levels, you know?
Right.
Yeah, that's...
So it is. It's tough to see that.
Well, you should. Totally you should. Jealous. Yeah, you should marry him right now and just climb on a train.
Oh, I can't tell you how many of his friends are like, "Okay, when are you going to put a ring on her finger? You might as well."
Hey, Mary on the voice disguiser. Welcome to the Bird Show.
Hi.
Hey.
My husband and I last year, up till last year, we both worked corporate jobs, and he always hated it because he's really an artist. And he got laid off last year and has started an artistic business.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not making any money yet. I'm paying all the bills. And
oh, your phone's cutting out.
Oh, well, not,
you
not the phone bill.
And, oh, you should do this too. You should follow your dreams. And I'm like, I'm sorry. I'm paying all the bills here. Everyone.
I can't. I'm having a hard time. You know, the phone's breaking up.
Oh,
but I can't tell
angry.
if she's jealous of him or just mad at
well,
him.
She's mad.
You're mad at him.
I mean, it's sort of mad, but it is jealous when he starts off on the, oh, it's so great when you can wake up in the morning and you love what you do. Well, you know, I don't love what I do, but I have to do it.
I think
you know?
It's a little bit different than being jealous of his success. You're jealous of, I mean, she seemed jealous of his choices.
She just seemed mad at him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
hey,
she needs somewhere to vent.
Hey, wow. Chris.
Yes, what's up, man?
How
what's
are
up?
You?
Hey, man, I'm out here working out, and it's kind of chilly out here, but I'm just listening to you guys talk about this. I was married for about 14 years,
uh-huh.
And I decided to stay home as a dad.
Yeah.
And my wife became very, very successful. Her income, it went into the six digits.
Mm-hmm.
And
nice.
I didn't get jealous, but she got really controlling. Like, uh-huh. Really, you do this, you do that. And it actually caused a divorce.
Wow.
Yes, yes. But, you know, sometimes I was a little bit, envious of how, you know, she was acting on her career and everything. But she really, the roles kind of switched
mm-hmm.
big time. And so I just couldn't take it. And a lot of things led to this and this and that. And we ended up getting a divorce.
Wow.
Thank you for the call. Now it's funny.
And
now it's a joke. Hey, Casey, welcome to the show.
Hey.
Hey, how are you?
Good.
What's
good.
Up?
So, yeah, I'm a little envious, a lot envious of my husband because he is getting to lay in bed right now while I'm on my way to work, and he gets to do what he wants when he wants and gets to be with the kids, and I get to go work the 9 to 5 and pay more and pay all the bills, and not fair.
So does he okay. do anything? Does he work?
Not really quite.
Well, he does. He works. He freelances. And what he does is he works in kind of like the music entertainment industry. So when he does get to work, he gets to go do all these concerts and these shows. He's out late at night, rubbing elbows with the stars. And still, I don't get to do what I want to do. And I have to pay more money into our, you know, our family fund. And it's a little, you know. Whatever.
Frustrating.
Right.
You know, I mean, the number one, not quite what Jen's question was. But
I know, I think we totally missed the mark on what Jen was trying to do, but we gave a lot of people an opportunity to vent.
To vent. Well, it just shows you that, I mean, the number one cause of divorce, they say, is money. I mean, and you heard some very angry people about having to pay the bills. But, I mean, you also have to know that in a relationship, you and your spouse are not going to be at the same level the whole time. It's just impossible.
Well,
you know, somebody's
yeah.
always going to make more money than the other.
Well, I'm not sure Nick Cannon's too happy holding the umbrella for Mariah Carey and all these award shows.
Yeah, and Mariah Carey, by the way, can't be an easy
person to be
in a relationship with in the first place.
But Mariah Carey went into that a bigger star than him.
It's true.
And she deserves the accolade she's getting for her role mm-hmm. in Precious, so he just needs to shut up.
I agree.
So what else is he doing but hosting shows?
And I think we figured out what our new vent line
no
yes.
topic
yes.
should be.
Yes. Yeah, I hate my spouse.
I have to pay the bills.
The Bert Show.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better. With new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect, the fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.
big color, bigger savings. Sherwin-Williams Super Sale is here. Get 40% off paints and stains June 5th through the 11th with prices starting at $30.89. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hey, The Bird Show.
Tracy has come in studio because she's having... We always like to talk to Tracy about her baby stuff going on in her world. Tracy's
Ella.
Ella Grace. How is Ella?
How old is Ella? Awesome. Ella. Hey.
She'll be 7 months in a few days already.
Did she do okay when you and Scott went out without her this weekend?
When we went out without her?
Yeah.
We didn't go out without her.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You never do.
No.
How's she doing?
She's great. She's awesome.
How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm talking about my baby weight, right?
Yeah.
My added... Well,
not because of me. She's the one who wanted to talk about it. I didn't say, Tracy, you got to talk about that weight.
That's an awkward conversation, Jeff.
I don't know if I'm unique in this, so I would love to hear from other, you know, formerly pregnant women. But ever since having a baby, I am more comfortable with my body. Let me also say that I'm about 20 pounds heavier than I was when I got pregnant. But before, if I would have put on 2 pounds, 3 pounds, if I had a little bit of a bulge, I would obsess over it. Mm-hmm. I would start dieting. I would be concerned with like the clothes that I was wearing in my closet. And for whatever reason, while I would love to be the size that I was before, I don't care as much. And I don't know if it's because I realize what my body was able to do and mm-hmm. like an extra 20 pounds is no big deal when I get to have this beautiful little baby girl who I love so much. Or if it's just, I feel like I have an excuse now, like, whatever, so I've got a little belly, I had a baby.
Right. Like I think it's healthy. I think it's a really good transition for you.
Yeah.
Agreed. I mean, I think that's a much healthier approach to what your body looks like anyway.
It's totally, like, I mean, I feel more free, you know, mm-hmm. like, I just ate a biscuit, whereas, you know, a year and a half ago, I'd been like, I can't have that. You know, I've got a couple pounds I need to lose, or I need to stay in my skinny jeans. And now I'm like, whatever, I can't fit in my skinny jeans. I've got a daughter. You know, I birthed a baby. Like, here's my body and take it or leave it.
Right.
Hey, Nicole, welcome to the show.
Hey.
Hey.
Well, good morning to everybody.
Good morning.
I was going to say mine was the exact opposite before. I didn't really have to worry about my weight, I guess, but... Now that afterwards, I feel that it's worse. I feel that like I'm watching what I eat more than what I did before I got pregnant.
So Tracy, you should consider yourself lucky because you've been freed.
Well, I guess so, but I also had my child young, so I guess it might have been easier for me. But everyone else always tells me, you know, you have a baby, you shouldn't be so worried about it. You look great for already having a baby, but most people my age look, you know, it's just.
Yeah, I thought the baby weight was going to come off a lot easier than it did. Like, I think I was kind of like, yeah, whatever, when I was pregnant. I wasn't really, you know, watching what I eat as carefully as I used to because I figured, oh, I'll breastfeed. And once you breastfeed, it comes off so easily. That hasn't been the case for me. I mean, I gained 60 pounds when I was pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and I've lost like 40 of it. Of course, most of that was Ella.
Yeah, that's true. She was a big girl.
Big baby.
But, and I just don't, I thought I would be more concerned with it. As, you know, as soon as the baby was here, I thought I'd be obsessed. I had like a diet plan all worked out. Like when I was pregnant, like, okay, this is exactly what I'm going to do as soon as she gets here. And I'm going to start running and I'm going to, you know, by the time she's 6 months old, I'm going to be running 5 miles a day and I'm going to have this diet plan. And for whatever reason, I just don't care. I'm just like, whatever, eventually it'll come off. If it doesn't come off, it's not like I'm, you know, overweight or anything. Like,
well, if you want Scott to give you another baby, you should probably think about getting another.
And Scott doesn't care.
If he does, he hasn't said anything. Like, he's told me, I think you look great. He's like, you haven't even done anything, and I think you look great.
Tracy, you could move out for 4 months, and as long as you don't take Ella, he wouldn't even notice you were gone.
Yeah, I don't think he cares much about me anymore. It's all about her, but whatever. That's a different topic.
Hey,
different tomorrow phoner. On the Burt Show.
Hey, Jessica, welcome to the show.
Hey, I want to say that, yes, Tracy, I am 28 years old. I will be 29 in March. I have a 6, a 3, and an 18-month-old. Mm-hmm. And it is all about whether or not your spouse is supportive, because there are some days where I want to feel bad about my body, but my husband is like, nope, I still love it just the way you are. You gave me all three of my beautiful kids. He totally does not care. Yes, my stomach looks like a plate of chitlins from all the stretch marks. You know what? He does not care. I will put on my Spanx, still put on my cute little jeans and my tight fitting shirt and walk in the mall with my babies in their stroller and call it a day, honey. It's a great free feeling to have.
It's awesome. I mean, if you're one of those women that obsesses about your weight, like every woman does, have a baby, and you're just not going to care.
Oh, perfect.
That's all you need to do.
That's the solution to everything.
Wendy, there you go.
No.
The Burt Show.
Josh found some audio that I want to share with you. I know one piece of this will make Melissa laugh in particular.
Okay.
There is a television show in the UK somewhere where they read emails, and it's a religion-based TV show.
Okay.
So they're talking about, you know, God and Jesus and worship and all that fun stuff. And people email in their thoughts while the show's going on, and the hosts of the show will actually read the feedback that they're getting while they're live on the air.
Mm-hmm.
It's very apparent that they don't have anyone screening what they're reading. Like, the inbox pops up, you've got mail, and they just start reading. And so somebody over in the viewing area got an idea to see what sort of emails they could slip through the system.
Mm-hmm.
So the first one is definitely for Melissa. If you listen carefully at the beginning, you should be able to figure it out.
Okay.
And this is a letter written to this talk show, religion-based talk show in the UK.
My inspiration in life is a man I met in Nigeria called Ben Kenobi. He taught me so much about the force that spirituality has. It can be used for good and it can be used for bad. There is a light and a dark to everything. It's up to us to make sure that the light side of things outweighs the dark side. But in the kingdom of God, it's all about light. No darkness at all. So, but people go over and get powers from the enemy, and that's darkness, really. I helped him spread his message as best as I could for summer. For the summer, I was there. But one man with a particularly sharp tongue attacked his beliefs one day, and he disappeared shortly after. He believed the midichlorians controlled all of us and created all of us. He didn't think that the force of spirituality and midichlorians went hand in hand. Ben taught me that we must always try to live in harmony with all other forces of the universe.
And he started getting it. Yeah, he catches on at the end and he stops reading because he's, of course, referring to...
It's a Star Wars. Yeah, it's a whole... He just did the whole Ben Kenobi Star Wars whole thing.
Ben Kenobi is Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Yeah.
So I...
Got it.
I kind of laughed at that one.
I didn't think it was Ben Kenobi. I thought it was Obi-Wan Kenobi. Okay,
I laughed at that one. That was funny. And then Josh played this one for me, which is a little more mainstream, I think.
Okay.
Someone who's written a story here. It's a long one. It says, I'm a newly born-again Christian and would like to share my story of salvation with you. I was born in West Philadelphia and also raised there. I spent most of my days playing basketball on a playground, but also chilling out and relaxing. But then one day, a couple of guys who were up to no good started making trouble in my living area. I ended up getting into a fight, which terrified my mother. As a result, she sent me away from West Philadelphia to the most peaceful area of Bel Air.
Somebody in the background figures it out.
I think there's some Mongolians on the system.
So they figure out that it's the Fresh Prince of Bel Air. And
the theme song.
Born and raised.
Yeah.
So I think that, you know, this guy's catching on, so then the next day they have to move on to a different host.
Louise says, I think it's a real shame that there is cynicism directed towards this channel, which only wants to help our fellow members of the flock. When will people learn that God will never give them up, never let them down, never run around or hurt them? I mean, she's right, isn't there? Isn't it?
Yes. I mean, I'm afraid I smiled.
just like being held to me. And that's from songs, you see. So it could be that someone's out there just trying to have a laugh. But actually,
that's them still talking about the Rick Astley song.
They continue once they figure out it's
yes.
a song?
No, they don't figure it out. They never figure it out. They're analyzing it. The first line of his letter was the Rick Astley song.
Oh, my God.
Love it.
So I think that's a whole new genre of prank phone calling, prank writing.
I was going to say, if this was in Atlanta, you would be the very one to do everything we just heard.
Yeah, that was brilliant. I just need to find a TV show that reads their emails unsolicited.
The Burt Show.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
The Burt Show.
Hey, is this Olivia or Deborah?
This is Deborah.
Hi, Deborah. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Hold on. We'll get Olivia on. Hi, Olivia. How are you?
Hi.
Welcome back. Girls, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. Good to be back.
All right. Jen and Wendy are going to spearhead this, but we're starting. You guys are kicking off this single goal boot camp that we're doing all week, and it's about, you know, helping single ladies navigate the dating waters. And the reason we have you guys joining us is because, you know, we originally talked to you in studio about texting, but questions have come up about Facebook commenting mm-hmm. and tweeting and direct messages and at replies and so much more than texting. So that's why you guys, that's what you're representing, the social media aspect of dating.
And we just get a ton of email from listeners anytime that Wendy and I talk about dating or being single. Whenever we share it on the show, mm-hmm. we get lots of responses from other women listening who are single or maybe newly single getting back out on the scene. And so all the social media is this really new element to dating now that nobody's really navigated that before. So we were kind of wondering if you can give us like some rules of thumb, some definite things to always remember when you're on those sites.
Right. I mean, I guess the biggest thing to remember is, you know, we never before were inundated with all these, like, technologies and our kind of, like, 24/7 coverage of our lives on Facebook and mm-hmm. People are tweeting now. I mean, there's just so much going on that I think everybody just needs to be mindful that if you do saturate these communication lines early on, and I'm talking, you know, you're emailing, you're BlackBerry Messengering, you're Facebooking with, you know, your crush, that it's just probably going to burn out that love connection really quickly because you're just kind of so attainable and out there and everything about you is out there that you're kind of losing that mystery, which is the really the kind of thing that you want to keep, especially in early on in the love connection.
Is there like a guideline to go by? Because, you know, the texting and the tweeting can be somewhat private. But if you're going to Facebook message someone, like comment on their wall and post something, that almost seems like it's a question that has to be, or an issue that has to be addressed beforehand, because people might not want to know who, you know, like if I'm dating somebody, I might not want the whole world to know it just yet if we've only been on one date.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a guideline?
Well, here's the rule that we always tell single girls is that you should refrain from being Facebook friends or, like, Facebook friending someone to, like, the fourth date. I mean, let's face it, the first, you know, three dates are, you know, you kind of feeling that person out. I think by the fourth one, you can safely say that you guys are dating and headed that on that road. So we tend to kind of hold back on whether the girl's Facebook friending him or whether he's Facebook friending her, just kind of hold out on that because, I mean, I think that's the safest way to go about that situation.
So what if you're already Facebook friends with your crush? Should we delete them or just avoid posting anything on their wall?
Yeah, definitely avoid. You know, you don't want... It's very... you don't want everybody to know what's going on. And like Olivia said, you want to keep the mystery. So, and guys also don't appreciate it when a girl that they just started a date posts on their Facebook page, "Hey, I had a great time last night," because early on, that's not a good move to make.
It's too clingy.
It's also a private thing. I mean, I think that's something that you can private message on Facebook and not make it public domain, you know?
Right.
I mean,
exactly.
The biggest turnoff to guys that we've gotten is that when a girl comments like every single status or picture or link that they put up. I mean, it reeks of trying too hard, and it's just, it's like you don't want everybody knowing, you know, you that you're out there and you have nothing better to do but to comment on his wall.
Well, and two, don't you think it needs to be, the tone needs to be light and fun? Like in any sort of text communication or social networking, like to me it should stay light and fun. Any sort of serious subject matter, I feel like you should talk about.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, absolutely. No, texting, Facebooking, BBMing, it's all supposed to be light and fun because we have found that a very big misconception that people have come across is that that they think that now that texting's around that you need to have all these conversations on texting, but that's actually absolutely incorrect. You know, texting and Facebooking and all those things are ways to supplement a relationship that should also include phone calls and face-to-face, because that's
right.
How you build a relationship. And all those other fun things in social media should be just that. They should be fun and light.
Exactly. Yeah, because I think that that's a mistake that a lot of women make, is they'll get serious or they'll like try to express their emotions in that way. And it's like, you can't really do that. You can't express a serious emotion and then an emoticon to really get across like
a smiley face.
Yeah, a smiley or a wink or a sad or whatever it is. So, like, really say what you need to say. I think it should just be fun and flirty and light.
Yeah,
keep
and
it
the
light.
Great thing about flirting in these social media environments is that you're able to flirt in a controlled environment. You're mm-hmm. able to actually think about what you want to say and how it's going to make you look before putting it out there. So if you're smart about it, then it could really, really help you out.
Mm-hmm. And for Single Girl Boot Camp, what would be your suggestion before immediately replying to something you get from a boy? So say you get like a flirty text from a boy or a flirty direct message or whatever else it is. Like, do you have any advice on, okay, before you reply, you should do what?
You should stop.
Stop yourself. Stop and think.
Well, what we usually say is that the first thing that pops into your mind is most likely impulsive and driven by emotion. So what you want to say initially is probably, you're going to think of something better in an hour, you know? And, like, just hold off. There's no need, just because it's speedy technology doesn't mean you need to be speedy with your response.
Mm-hmm.
Which is the rule that you applied to texting when we had you in.
Mm-hmm.
You
exactly.
Know,
it's texting. The same kind of thing. Like, if you take your time, then you can be, like, witty and light and funny.
Now, we had a guy in studio, actually a friend of the Bird Show, a couple months ago, and he approached a girl. He got invited to a party that he couldn't attend, but then was looking at the pictures of the party, and in those pictures found a girl that he thought was attractive. So checked out her Facebook page, and whatever he saw on her Facebook page, he's like, wow, this is a cool girl. So he sent her a message, not a public message, a private message on Facebook, and asked her if there was any, you know, if she's single and if she wouldn't mind grabbing a cup of coffee.
And I thought his approach was kind of cute because he said, you know, I was supposed to go to the party where you went and, you know, kind of, man, I'm really mad I missed it because I missed the chance of meeting you.
So the That's question is that an is Facebook or any social media that has a picture attached, is that an acceptable medium for meeting
the initial
people?
Approach?
Yeah, for the initial meeting.
I think people are using it, absolutely. I think people are actively using it almost as a dating site at this point. And if, you know, the rule, I mean, I think it's cute and safe to say what that guy did is appropriate. And, you know, it's also based on whether this girl is interested. And most likely they have a lot of friends, mutual friends in common, and she'll probably check that out and go mm-hmm. and ask around her friends and get his story before she probably responds. And that's the thing, is it's going to be based on those mutual friends and what they have to say about him.
Well, what she did do is she immediately defriended him, which we found amusing.
She blocked him.
Blocked him,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so he couldn't contact her anymore, which led us to believe that she was a psycho. And
that was the best decision. my rule with guys who, that I don't know, strangers, sending me a private message saying that they think I'm cute and would I want to go out sometime, I ignore all of them, every single one of them. If you give me a generic Facebook private message the same way you would give me a generic text message, mm-hmm. I don't think you're putting in effort. I think it could be a mass message that you copy and paste to a bunch of girls.
Right.
If you want to make yourself stand out, then you need to, what you said, what this guy did where he mentioned a party that he knew she was going to, which could be a little bit crazy on his end, but if he had said something, you know, that they had in common, and I know your friend, this person, and that sort of stuff, if you make it personal that, you know, a girl knows you didn't just copy and paste it, I think that's better for you. I mean, it gives you a better step ahead in the right direction.
The what about the issue of infidelity online? Like, once you're exclusive with someone, are you allowed to comment on members of the opposite sex's pictures?
Yeah, if you do it,
why not?
Very lightly. I mean, if you don't say anything inappropriate, absolutely. And because you know that, you know, it says it on your page that you just talked about somebody else's photos, so your significant other is going to check that out if she's able to. And also, there's a level of trust that you have to have, you know, with social media.
I actually, though, I mean, a little story. Like, there's someone I know that is in a relationship with someone else, living with them, and on Facebook, and it says so on their status. However, mm-hmm. The guy continues to hit on other girls.
Mm.
And it's like, you have to be, I mean, none of these girls, I mean, he's a really good-looking guy. He's got a lot going for him. But, like, are you serious? Like, there's pictures posted of you and your girlfriend everywhere. It says, in a relationship with blank. I mean, I don't know what people are thinking that that's okay to do. It's a huge, weird thing to me.
Let me ask you guys about chivalry, because a lot of people would argue that chivalry is dead and mm-hmm. that technology makes it even more easy for chivalry to be dead. How does a single girl navigate, you know, being in the world of texting and social networking while dating, because it's just a part of it now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's no avoiding. That's just the way it goes now. But still being able to expect to date a gentleman or expect some chivalry at some stage of the game.
I think it's about mixing it up. I mean, it's about knowing that a guy that really likes you will call you at some point, and hopefully early on, to make a date, but will use texting to flirt with you, will send a funny post on your Facebook page when he's thinking of you, and who's going to mix it all up.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's true. I mean, I think, you know, the most important thing is, I think, if you have to wait for that phone call. I mean, I think that is, out of all these social media, everything that's going on, whether he Facebooks you and gets your phone number that way,
mm-hmm.
like, it's got to come down to the phone call.
Right. Okay.
So,
cool.
Like, phone call, like, in person, like, talking?
Yes, like, talking to some personal thing, right?
Yeah.
Like, hearing their voice, yeah.
I don't understand.
I know,
yeah,
you can
still place calls on your phone.
I know. You can express so much more with your voice than your thumbs, Jeff.
Hey, Deborah and Olivia, thank you so much for joining us today.
Sure.
Thanks, you guys.
We appreciate it. And the name of the book is called Flirt Texting.
Flirt Texting, yeah.
It's really good.
It's an awesome book.
It's such a great book. I have used it more than one time as like a guide for how to do it.
And do we have time to tell you one more super big tip about Facebook?
Sure. Yeah, go ahead.
Olivia and I were doing sort of a Facebook makeover boot camp with some of our guy friends, and we noticed that a lot of our guy friends have absolutely ridiculous photos, and when a girl gets a guy's number, the first thing she's going to do, whether she's friends with you or not, is check out your Facebook profile. So you have to make sure that that picture is very, very wonderful, and you're not doing anything in it that she could disagree with. So if you go to flirttexting.com on our blog today, we've listed the 25 worst things you could possibly be doing in your Facebook profile picture.
We'll link that up to our website.
Great.
That's very cool. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, guys.
Have a great day. Have a great week.
Bye, you too.
Bye.
The Burt Show.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
The Burt Show.
So we're sort of jumping off on a serious point here for a second, because the rumor now is that Elin Woods, is down in Mississippi, and she is standing by her man. At least she's going to try. So Tigress had 14 different affairs, and the rumor is that she's at least going
to
try to make this
one. I think it's up to 17 now.
17. Well, once you get past, like, six, doesn't really matter.
After you hit a dozen, I mean,
it might
whatever.
Make a difference for some people.
For Tiger,
they may draw the line at
a magic number.
I know it's a childish joke, but I want Tiger to go 18 holes.
Oh my gosh.
So, the question here is, I would really like to hear from people outside the celebrity world that have had to go through this. You have kids, there was some infidelity in the relationship, and you stayed together, you made it work for the kids. Just for the kids. Because Melissa says she don't respect Elin for doing this at all.
I don't. I think less of her. And my perspective, yes, I don't have children. I understand the intention of parents doing it for the children. But my perspective comes from two different things. One of my best friends growing up and watching her from elementary school up until adulthood now. We've been friends this whole time. And she's a product of divorce whose mother stood her ground and kicked the man out. And then dating a woman who is a product of divorce, who did not witness or did not experience the divorce until high school, but had to endure all that growing up. And the difference between the two women is the woman I grew up with, whose mother stood her ground when she was young and kicked the man out when there was abuse and infidelity going on, grew to be a confident woman who's in a long-term marriage now and has no worry that this marriage is going to end. I'm dating a woman who there's an undercurrent constantly of this insecurity about it not lasting. And it doesn't emanate, you know, in big ways. But every now and again, there's these just subtle things where I know that she just wants me to make sure that I let her know I'm not leaving for no reason.
I do think that this is one of those places that if you don't have kids, I really do think it changes your perception. That's my first point on it. And the second one is I don't want it to get too twisted, my opinion on it. I'm not saying stick it out in a loveless marriage for the kids. What I'm saying that I admire about Elin is that she's attempting to make it work for the kids. I don't think at the end of the day she's going to be able to. And at that point, once your heart is out of it, I think you got to split. You can't stay in a marriage where you can't stand the person because the kids pick up on that and it does more damage than it does good. The thing that I admire is that at least she's going to give it a try.
I don't understand why she's giving it. I just think less of her. Why give it a try? He has disrespected you. He's made a fool out of you many times. And now that you're going back, you're being a fool again. And your children will know it.
Here is Mike on The Voice Disguiser. Hey, Mike.
Hey.
All right. So you stayed in your relationship for the good of the kids after some infidelity.
Well, actually, that was only part of the reason. I mean, that was a big part. And I had two stepkids I was raising. But it was also because that's just what I felt you did. Mm-hmm. You know, you got over that. You're in it for better or for worse. And so I decided she had come and confessed an affair to me. And we had been married just under 3 years, I think. And at the time, this was many years ago. And so I decided to stay in it, and I did not go through a point where I hated this person. I literally did what it took to get over it, and I got over it. And then 2 years later, she just decided. She told me she wanted a divorce, and it was at a time when our relationship was probably I thought was going better than ever. And then came to find out after the fact from many sources that she had at least a half a dozen other affairs.
Ouch.
That was only the first one.
Ouch.
Including one with my best friend.
Oh, dude. Oh, no.
Did you ever really get over it, though?
Yeah.
Because I don't think okay.
I mean, without a doubt, I
really get
I
over
was,
it.
Because, yeah, well, yeah. I really put that behind me and said, you know, everyone makes mistakes. I'm not perfect. I've never done that, but I hopefully never would. But, people make mistakes. She confessed it and that was it for me. And there were several times over the next couple of years where I would find myself getting suspicious or jealous. Now in hindsight, I probably was right.
Yeah, you think, right?
But I just said, oh, that's silly. It's just, you know, I'm reading things into this, and I would make myself get over it. And I would say I dealt with it, and I was still in love when she decided that she wanted a divorce. And
I wonder if by the time we're done taking these calls, I wonder if the outcomes are going to be different based on who did the infidelity. Because I think that the common thought is guys can still love women but still get physical with other women. And me and my dad had this conversation, man. It was repulsive that he used to screw around on my mom only because it was a physical thing. He could have sex with other women, come home to my mom, and still had feelings for my mom. He loved her.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas when women screw around, at least the underlying tone is that they've been pushed into it or they've emotionally checked out already. So when the guy says yes, when his wife comes home and says, I had an affair, and the guy says, that's all right, let's stick it out for the good of the kids, let's go ahead and make sure that we still have this, she really has already checked out. Emotionally, she's done. She's out of love already. And the relationship in the long run isn't going to last because she's already checked out. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was just different.
But
that thought.
And it's easier for the guy because of the way the guy processes it when he's doing it.
Because he's thinking in a guy's mind that it's just a physical thing for her also.
It's a matter of fact thing. It's done.
But I still don't think it's easier for the woman to get over just because of that.
Well, I don't think he completely got over
it. Like, you could say that to your partner, but I don't think she ever gets over it.
Sure, because the same way.
Regardless.
The same way a guy is processing the infidelity with a woman, thinking it's just physical, she's processing it
as a woman, thinking that it was more than that.
But
that last caller we had only knew about one incident. Like, to compare it with Elon, if he had found out about the dozen that she had slept with, would he have stayed for the good of the kids?
Right.
So the question we're asking is, this good for the kids thing,
mm-hmm.
you found out some infidelity, you stayed in the relationship for the good of the kids. When you crossed the finish line, did it work out or not? Hey, Jenny, good morning.
Hey.
Hi.
I found out about 2 years ago, around Christmas, that my husband admitted it. He came home and told me. I've actually confronted one of the other women about it. But it happened about 3.5 weeks before Christmas is when he told me, so I felt like I was kind of obligated to stay because of Christmas with the kids. I didn't think that was fair to them around the holiday. They were 5 and 6, so I didn't think they would really, really understand what was going on at the time. But because I stayed under the circumstances, me and him actually had to talk about it. There wasn't, I'm leaving, it's over, I don't want to talk about it. Because I was there, I felt like, we had to talk about it. I was miserable, he was miserable in the whole situation, and we had to just talk about it. And so we did. And 2 years later, we're together, and I think we are better off than we've ever been. Now, I know I can still be made a fool of, and he knows that. I've told him that. And so, I'm not completely blind that this can happen again. I don't think it's happened since then.
But at the end of the day, you're glad you stuck around.
Yes.
And it's working.
But the reason I stayed around was because of the kids. Mm-hmm. Now, the reason I'm around now is not.
Okay.
Good for her. I think it,
And it took both of them to have the conversation. I just don't think Tiger's going to stay loyal to Elon.
Here is Lee. Good morning. You're on Q100.
Hi. I was calling in about the situation you're talking about, about the infidelity and staying for the children.
Uh-huh.
My husband had a 2-year affair that I found out about, and I ended up staying with him for our children because we have 2 small children at home, and I just felt like having a stable, they never realized what was going on, and I felt like having them raised with 2 parents and being able to do what we could do for them financially together was more important than for the short term.
Mm-hmm.
And did it work out?
Well, we're still together. Now, I don't think we'll probably be together when my children are grown.
So as soon as the kids are out of the house, that's your finish line?
Probably.
Are there a lot of people like that who just wait till the kids are going to college and they're done?
But the kids, don't you think the kids know?
They have to.
They do.
Or they'll pick up eventually as they get older that there's really sort of like mommy and daddy don't touch each other. They don't hug each other.
And then you're
they know.
Don't they pick that up?
You're the example of what a marriage is supposed to be to your kids. Mm-hmm.
So if you,
well, I think we did put on a really good act. I mean, we're not. I don't hate him. I mean, we're friendly. I mean, and I will hug him. I do have a love for him. So I tell him I love him. I just, you know, it's just not the same. That trust has been broken.
But understand your children are feeling that underlying tension, especially growing up in a household mm-hmm. with that. You feel the tension no matter if it's being expressed or not. You're visualizing your parents. You see your parents every day. You can hear the arguments go on in the background. Your children aren't immune to that. And growing up in that, it really ruins you as a person growing up.
Is that happening?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, really? You're constantly, even in relationships, you're constantly questioning somebody, whether you trust them completely or wholeheartedly, but that's how you grew up. Like, you see your parents, they act like they're in love. I mean, you think you're doing a good job, you're really not. You're doing a disservice to your child, because then you don't trust marriage at all.
I can't believe I'm about to quote Dr. Phil, but I think I am. But in the 30 minutes of my life I've spent watching him, he did say something really interesting about this same situation. Mm-hmm. He said, you know how if you grew up with dogs, like in the house, a dog can sense like when there's change in feelings or different emotions or whatever. Mm-hmm. We'll run and hide. We'll come to your side. We'll do whatever. And people think that because your kids don't do that, they're not feeling it. And the difference is the kids are capable of hiding it. A dog isn't. So you like keep in mind next time you think you're fooling your kids,
you're not.
Like a dog is capable of knowing what the feeling and the emotion is in the house. If a dog can feel it, so can your kid. Your kid is just doing you a favor by saying, you know what, I'm going to go into my room, or I'm going to go outside, or I'm going to smile or laugh or make a joke or do whatever is different. The kid's not dumber than the dog. The kid's smarter than the dog.
Hey, Steve, you're on the Voice Disguiser. Go ahead.
Yes, I also have a situation like the fellow that called first. 7 years into our marriage, I found out my wife had an affair. I did stay for the kids and for the marriage. I also believe that, you know, for better or for worse, I'm in here for this is the worst, and it's going to get better at some point. So I understand exactly what Tiger Woods' wife is going through, and I especially understand the smashing the Cadillac part. You get some of these intense emotions that make you crazy and make you do and want to do crazy things. I think where I was a little bit different is I can sense that the quantity would have been a deal killer for me that she had had. But I think the only way that you get through it is through prayer and a lot of prayer. And for me, actually, the trust, I never actually really did get back.
So you guys you're still together today?
Actually, no. She left at 16th wedding anniversary, around that time she left. She decided to end after I had stuck it out like that. And why I would recommend not doing it is just by that point, when that had, you know, I'd stuck it out and we tried to work it out, it was like reopening the whole can of worms again, looking in the mirror again, and what I had lost in that whole time was myself. And because I'd given up everything to try to save the marriage and to make it work, and kind of felt like I'd given up my integrity.
Look, I don't know that you can draw a total generalization on these yet, but I mean, the common theme with the dudes is they wanted to stick it out, and a couple of years later, the women left. So is the conclusion that we're drawing that if a wife screws around, that there's no going back?
Well, I don't know, but I mean, is it also a case where if a guy cheats and he confesses to his wife and she sticks it out, that he stays monogamous the whole time?
Or that she ever gets over it?
Well, we've talked about that before. There's never 100% trust ever again. No. We've talked about that too many times.
We can end this on a good note. Joanna is no longer anxious about getting engaged.
Hey, The Burt Show.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.